and turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, very beginning book of the Bible. And we're going to look into an account, the life of Abraham, the father of all who believe. And I trust that the Lord will enable us to receive some instruction, helpful instruction, illuminating instruction over some issues that seem to be far from settled in the lives of so many who proclaim faith in Jesus Christ or who proclaim to be the children of Abraham by faith. Genesis chapter number 15. I would like to mention to you, I don't know if it's been mentioned from the pulpit in my absence, I was not aware until this last week that David Bowler, who has been involved in the ministry at Faithway for a number of years now, used to pastor in, I think it was in Scarborough, and then many years ago, went to work as an associate at Faithway and has been instrumental in leading the college there, Faithway Baptist College, for many, many years, has developed some heart issues over the last year and was scheduled for open heart surgery Friday, this past Friday. And they had to postpone it. I'm not exactly sure why, but they did postpone it. And now it's coming up, I think, sometime in the next few weeks. They're trying to reschedule it, or maybe they have rescheduled. I haven't heard definitively. But I'd like to ask you to add his name to your prayer list. If you are a prayer warrior, pray for David Bowler. His wife's name is Robin. And God has used them wonderfully. Great young couple. They've impacted a lot of lives. And he's very quiet about his own struggles or about his own life. And he wouldn't say much. And I assume that's how come I didn't know about it. I count him a dear friend and a good friend, but I knew nothing of it. But somebody who was on the list, the alumni from the college, was at camp and told me about it, asked me about it, and asked me if I was aware, and I wasn't. So if you'd pray for Brother Bowler and for the Lord's will to be done, for God to bless him and fill him with his peace. And then also, let's continue to pray for Phil and Susan Smith, who've gone down south to get some special treatment for the cancer that he's fighting, which is a very serious thing. And the latest reports are that what they're doing right now to prepare him for the chemo that he needs has been helping him a lot. He's been regaining a lot of his strength that he was missing and energy, and so they're ready to undergo the treatments now. And so they're encouraged by that. But continue to pray for Phil and Susan Smith. They are missionaries through BIMI with the CLAIM ministry, Christian Layman Assisting in Missions, and pray that the Lord will bless them. So there's a couple of prayer requests I would keep before you. Genesis chapter 15. We read these words beginning in verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. I would beg you to never forget that statement. The whole of your Christian faith rests in that statement. He believed God. He believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him, he the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Romans chapter 4 and chapter 5 develop that thought further. It's faith that saves us. It's not righteousness. It's faith that saves us and brings to us the righteousness of God, which we need. So that's the beginning of the story. Concerned about an heir, told that he's going to have a son. There's going to be an heir that comes from his own bowels. Go to chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. Would you circle the word handmaid and keep it in your mind now? Who's Hagar? She's the handmaid to Sarah, Abram's wife. What's God's plan for her? What's God's purpose in her life? What's her responsibility? To be a handmaid to Sarah. Keep that in your mind. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. She went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. Hagar conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress, Sarah, was despised in her eyes. She had an attitude of superiority, haughtiness, because Sarah was barren. Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. I'm always tempted to stop in the reading of Scripture and preach things I did not intend to preach. But can I assure you, if you've been hard done by and wronged, God has not forgotten you. And Hagar has been wronged here, and God has not forgotten her, not forgotten where she's at. He didn't lose track of her. And so when it says he found her, it doesn't mean that, oh, there she is. I wonder where she went. No. That means he came to her. He knew where she was and he came to her. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by a fountain in the way to Shur, and said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, or whence camest thou, and whither shalt thou go, or wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Sounds like the fulfilling of God's promise to Abraham, doesn't it? But let's go on. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. And basically that word means the father of a great multitude. And because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Don't forget that verse. We're going to refer to it back in a few minutes. This son that I'm going to give you is going to be the father of a great multitude, and he'll be wild. And his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. So on the birth of this boy, born to Abraham and Hagar, he was 86. Keep that in mind, 86 years old. Now, go with me into chapter 17. And for time's sake, we'll just begin in verse 15. And God said unto Abram, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and I will give thee a son also of her. He already has a son by Hagar. I'm going to give you a son by Sarah. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? You know, sometimes we read without really thinking. And if you've ever been in a circumstance where something happened to you that is unbelievable, did you ever say to somebody laughingly, can you believe it? Who would have ever thought it? And you laughed about it. It's not as if Abraham is laughing at God like, what do you take me for, a fool? That's impossible. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. No. He's laughing in his heart and said, wow, shall somebody 100 years old have a child? And Sarah, 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He loves his son. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Please don't forget that statement. I will establish my covenant with him. There's two sons now, or going to be two sons. There's one by Hagar called Ishmael. Nothing said about that. He's going to be the father of a great multitude of people, but nothing is said about establishing the covenant with him. But God said, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abram. By the way, before we go any further, just I want to read a little bit more, but go to Genesis 25. And look at verse 16. I want to take every opportunity I can to establish your faith in the authority of Scripture, the inspiration of Scripture. And God says here in chapter number 17 that I'm going to bless Ishmael. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. In chapter 25, now, after the death of Abraham in verse 11, God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Lahairoi. Now, these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abram. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations, the firstborn of Ishmael. And he lists them all. These are the sons of Ishmael, verse 16, and these are their names by their towns, by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. Exactly what God said he would do, God did. Exactly as God said it would happen, it has happened. I want you to believe the Bible. I want you to have confidence in the Word of God. God keeps his Word. Now go back with me. We read in chapter 17. We're going to chapter 21. We're following this story of Abraham giving sons, or excuse me, God giving sons to Abraham. Chapter 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Just letting that sink in for a minute. God does what he says. He'll visit you. If he made a promise, it might be 10 years, 13 years, 15 years, 20 years, but he'll be there. He'll keep his word. And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old. How old was he when Ishmael was born? 86. 14 years later, after God says, Ishmael's not the one, I'm going to give you a son of Sarah, it happens. So he's 100 years old now when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Look at let's go on down to verse 13. And she said, who would have said that Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, that would be Ishmael, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Seems a little harsh. The son of Abraham, through Hagar, is persecuting or mocking or making fun of and despising the son God gave to Abraham through Sarah, the one with whom God has established his covenant, or through whom God has established his covenant. And so Sarah says, throw her out. Put her away. Separate her from us. So he shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now put yourself in Abram's shoes. This thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son, Ishmael. But notice what God said to Abram. God said to Abram, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman, thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. So God said, let her go. My plan is not through her and her son. I will take care of them, but my covenant, my promise, my blessing rests upon Isaac. And so the separation is okay. Now, if you've followed the story, it's very basic. God came to Abraham out of the blue, chose him. After he had established the world again through Noah and his sons, and God just comes to Abraham, we meet him, we don't know anything about him, and says, I want you to get out of your father's land and leave your father's home, and I want you to go to a place I'm going to show you. And Abraham obeys, not knowing where he went. He goes out by faith. He trusts God. Gets to the point of having children, but Sarah cannot have children. And God makes a promise that he's going to multiply his seed, but it looks like it's not happening. So through the flesh, he and Sarah attempt to do what God alone can do. They attempt to obtain the promise of God, which is a seed, a blessing, forever, through the efforts of the flesh. But that's not the plan of God. So God the word I'm looking for, I can't think of the right word. God reaffirms his promise to Abraham that he's going to have a son by Sarah. And the truth of the matter is, without me going back into the wording of Scripture, God does to Sarah what he promised. Now listen to me. The birth of Isaac was by the power of God, according to the promise of God. Abraham and Sarah could not fulfill the promise of God in their flesh because they were dead. 100 years old, 90 years old, they could not do it. But God had promised. And so God performs the promise by his power as they wait in faith upon him. But before that happened, they had made the decision to attempt to obtain the promise of God, see the promise of God fulfilled by the efforts of their flesh. We don't really have the time, but if we went back to the New Testament, the book of Galatians chapter 4, Paul is dealing with this group of people that have come to the Christians in Galatia. They're called Judaizers. And they are emphasizing the need for law and for obedience and fulfilling of the law in order to have favor with God. And in doing so, their authority is based upon the fact that they see themselves as the seed of Abraham. So God made a promise to Abraham's seed. God's covenant is with the seed of Abraham, and we be Abraham's seed. And so they're thinking that because we're the seed of Abraham, you, if you would be a partaker of the covenant blessings of God, you must also follow the covenant that was established with Abraham. So they're trying to get them to work to do the law, to fulfill the law, to be obedient to certain rules and laws in order to have the favor of God or the covenant blessings of God upon them. Are you following me? And Paul says no. And in chapter 4 of Galatians, he emphasizes the story. He uses as an illustration the story of Isaac and Ishmael. Hagar was a bond woman. She was a slave. She was not a free woman. She had been bought by Abraham to be the handmaid to his wife. And in that day and at that time, if you were a slave and you gave birth to a child, that child was also a slave. That child was not born a free man. He was born a slave. So Ishmael is born of a slave woman, and he also is a slave. Isaac, on the other hand, is born of Sarah, who is a free woman. So he is free. And the picture that is painted for us by that illustration is that the law is bondage. The law of God imprisons us because it lays upon us demands that we are unable to keep because there's no power within us. We're sinners. We're estranged from God. And we have no power, no strength. The law convicts us. The law demands of us. And we are slaves to the law. And every time we think we have somehow bought our freedom or somehow escaped the bonds of the law, we find ourselves back in bondage again. We find ourselves failing again or slipping again. And so God never intended the law to be the means of setting his people free. The law was a handmaid to Christ. The law was a schoolmaster, Galatians chapter 3, to bring us to Christ. The law was not intended to be the means of our freedom. So no man is ever saved by the keeping of the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. God performed a miracle in the lives of Abraham and Sarah, and a birth took place, the birth of a free man who was not under the law and to whom God gave his covenant promise of blessing. God did that. So these Jews who were proclaiming authority because of their relationship by blood to Abraham are reminded by Paul, Abraham had two boys. He had two sons. Which one are you? The one was born in bondage. And he said, that's who you are. Now again, I don't have time, but if you went into the New Testament and listened to Jesus and John the Baptist and Jesus kept addressing the scribes and Pharisees and saying, look, you say you have Abraham to your father, but I'm telling you, Jesus said this. He said, God is able to raise up children unto Abraham from these stones. You are truly only the seed of Abraham according to the covenant promise if you have embraced by faith what God alone can do in your life. I don't know if you're getting the picture, but you need to be absolutely clear that it doesn't matter that you had a Christian mother or a Christian father or that you were raised in a Christian denomination or a Christian church. The only person who is free, the only person who is saved, the only person who obtains favor from God in heaven is the person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not the person who by efforts of the flesh like Abraham and Hagar trying to fulfill the promise of God. God says, I'm going to bless your seed. I don't have a seed, so I better get a seed. So he tries to produce a seed, and he does was through a slave woman. But you cannot produce the covenant child of promise through that means. God said, I will do it. And heaven had to act. There's a new birth that takes place by the grace of God and the power of God, according to the promise of God, that makes a man acceptable before God. You're either a child of the bondwoman or a child of the free. And if you're a child of the bondwoman, you're lost. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter what your heritage is. Unless you have believed, Abraham is the father of all who believe. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so it's all God's grace, God's favor bestowed upon Abraham, undeserving, and Abraham believing upon God and his grace that salvation is obtained. And that's how it is in your life and mine. I plead with you, don't make a mistake in this issue. So important. I am not working to be saved. I am not concerned about keeping the law to satisfy God and to obtain the promise of God. God made me a promise in Christ Jesus, and he gives it to me through Christ Jesus. I cannot earn it or attain it. I receive it by faith, and it's mine. But that law expressed the nature of my God, so I'm not ignoring that law. That law tells me what pleases God. That law tells me what's right for my life. That law tells me what will bring blessing upon my life, my family, my home, my ministry. And so I'm going to heed the law of God because it shows me the way of prosperity and blessing. I am not trying to keep the law. I gave that up a long time ago. I have no power to produce the righteousness that God demands. And Abraham and Sarah had no power to produce the seed that God had made promise of. They had to just rest in him and believe him and wait upon him. And when their faith was weak, they made a decision to try to do in the flesh what only God can do in them by his Spirit, and that resulted in disaster. And the world is still suffering today in large measure. The children of Abraham are indeed, of Ishmael, the children of Abraham by Ishmael are indeed a great multitude. And they are wild people. And their hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against them. I'm telling you, you are making a major mistake if you allow the devil to cause you to follow the lie that God is going to give you covenant blessings and take you into his eternal life because you attain a certain level of righteousness by obedience to the law. You cannot do it. You will not do it. It'll never happen. You have believed the devil's lie and you'll wake up in a devil's hell. You must understand that God has made a new covenant, and that covenant is through his son, Jesus Christ. And God alone can affect that change in you by the power of his Spirit. What happened with Isaac was the power of God fulfilling the promise of God for the people of God. Rest in it. Rejoice in it. But now I want to tie it to what I talked to you last week about. Do you remember? We talked about Hebrews chapter 4, 3 and 4, where Paul is talking about the people of God not having any rest. And he uses again the Israelite nation. And he said God promised them rest. And he brought them out of Egypt and he took them to the land of Canaan. And it was meant to be a place of abundance and blessing where they didn't have to work to produce the crops, but where God would supply it and God would give it to them. It's not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the abundant Christian life. God wants you to be there and he wants me to be there. So we talked about that and how we never entered into rest. Why? Because for the same reason they didn't. We don't believe God. We won't believe God. We won't rest in his promises. We won't trust him. We won't sit still and let him do what he wants to do. So go with me back to chapter 25 of Genesis. And let's look at these two men again at the death of Abraham. Both of these men are his sons. They're his seed. One by the flesh and one according to the power of God. Chapter 25, verse 1, then again Abram took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua, and Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim and Letushim and Lumen. And the sons of Midian, they also had names. And these were all the children of Keturah. Now wait a minute. Here's Isaac. Well, let's read on just a minute and I'll come back. And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. So here's all these sons that are born to Abraham. So he's had Ishmael, he's had Isaac, and now we get learn about seven more sons and then their children, their sons. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, he gave gifts. Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abram's life, which he lived, 175 years. How many is that? 175 years. When was Ishmael born? 86. When was Isaac born? 100. Now, we come to the end of his life, 175 years. What's happened in those 75 years? How old is Ishmael now? How old is Isaac now? Read on. Abraham gave up the ghost, died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Seth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Would you notice that statement? God blessed his son Isaac. After making that simple statement, now what do we read? Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abram's son, whose Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abram. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. And there are their names. Verse 13, 14, and 15. Verse 16, these are the names of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns, by their castles, and by the way, that word literally carries the idea of fortress, indicating that they were warriors, men of war, and they had to build fortresses because of the enemy. Remember, God said their hand would be against every man and every man's hand against them. The indications of history are that they were warring peoples, always warring and always fighting, and had to build fortresses and forts to protect themselves. And this is an ongoing thing. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah to Shur, that is, before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. These are the generations of Isaac, Abram's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. 40 years old. So Grandpa Abraham was 140. Or Dad, who would eventually be Grandpa Abraham, but his father, Abraham, was 140. So he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. What do you think that word entreated means? He went to the Lord on her behalf. He prayed. He interceded. He asked God for something on behalf of his wife. What was it? When did he get married? 40 years of age. And then we're told right away that he entreated his wife, Lord, for his wife. Why? Because she was what? Barren. Wait a minute. Oh, just a minute. Down here in verse number 11, it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. So Isaac gets married when Abraham is 140. Let's read on. The Lord was entreated of him. The Lord heard him. The Lord responded to his entreaty. And Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went out to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was, that's a pretty long pregnancy. 40 years old when he get married, and entreat the Lord because she's barren, and the Lord answers his prayer, and he's 60 years old when the baby's born. Either that was the longest pregnancy on record, or God didn't answer his prayer for a long time. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, through your son Isaac. I wonder if Abraham, as he lives out these years and watches his son Ishmael have all these children who are warriors, who are fighters, who can't get along with anybody, and he witnesses all this hatred and bloodshed and all of that. I wonder what he's thinking about his decision to hearken to the voice of Sarah, his wife, to try to bring about the promise of God in his life by the efforts of his flesh. And I wonder if he doesn't look at his son Isaac and see Isaac over there quietly dwelling in a tent, nothing going on, finally gets married at 40 years of age, but unable to have any children. And I wonder if he doesn't sit in his tent and think, I wonder if Isaac is thinking about forcing the issue. I wonder if Isaac is thinking about trying to find someone else to continue the line so God can pour out his blessing. You notice the scripture did say the Lord blessed Isaac after Abraham died. I got to think to myself that Abraham had a few conversations with Isaac and said, Isaac, you know what your mom and I did, don't you? We didn't rest in the promise of God. We got a little impatient and we tried to push it. We tried to do in the power of our flesh what only Almighty God can do by the power of His Spirit. And when you look at your brother and his family, you see what heartache has been wrought. Rest in God. Isaac, just believe God. He tells the truth. He will do. He did what he said he would do for your mother, and he will do as you've asked him to do for your wife. Just rest. Just wait. It must have looked like all the blessing that God had commanded or had promised he would give to Abraham. It must have looked for a long time that blessing rest upon Ishmael. Because he's got 12 sons. That's considered a great blessing. And they're all mighty men. They have cities and towns named after them. They live in castles. They're warriors. They're men of renown. They're in the news all the time. And where's Isaac? Nobody's hearing about Isaac. Isaac's nobody. Isaac's got no name. He's got no encouragement. There's nothing. It seems like all the blessings have gone the other way. But that's only because it seems that way. It's not God's time yet. Christian, I'm trying to say to you, and church, I'm trying to say to you, as we learned last week, we do not enter into rest because we won't believe. Isaac enters into rest because he believes the promise of God. So in this struggle between Ishmael and Isaac, the sons of Abraham, we see the truth about salvation. There's only two ways. Men who try to force their way into getting and obtaining and receiving the blessings of God by the efforts of the flesh, and those who give up and say, I cannot do it. I am dead. I have no power to produce it. I rest in God. I trust in God. I believe God. God said he'd provide me a Savior, and he will, and I receive Christ as my Savior. I rest in him. So we see the truth about salvation, but we also see the truth about Christian living. We can live our lives through the flesh, trying to accomplish the work of God, or we can just rest in the promise of God. Now, by the way, resting doesn't mean doing nothing. The Bible said he entreated him. And I believe that if we get to heaven and ask Isaac, he will say to us, well, when the Holy Spirit told you that I entreated the Lord, rest assured, I prayed that prayer many times. Many times. I didn't quit praying. I was faithful to pray for what God had promised. Are you? Do you believe God? Do you continue to remind God of his promises? Do you continue to claim those promises before God? Those that do enter into rest. And Isaac's prayer was answered, and his wife's womb was opened, and God gave him Jacob and Esau. God blessed him. And you know what we see about him? He never really does accumulate. He becomes a great man, but he doesn't live in a castle. He lives in a tent. He lives in tents, and you know what he does for most of his life? He digs wells. He's not a warrior. He's not a fighter. He digs wells. Why do you need wells? Because wells provide water, which is the staff of life. And he just enjoys the necessity, just stays to the basics and just enjoys it. It doesn't look like the blessings of God are upon him. But let me tell you something. What you see right now is not the reality. And it may look like the multitude outside the realm of those who trust in Jesus Christ alone are the ones enjoying the blessing of God. But don't ever forget that David said, you know, I was in the same situation and I got to looking at the prosperity of the wicked and I thought, whoops, maybe I chose the wrong path here. Maybe I'm on the wrong way until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. And now that we know the end of the story, we know that God had indeed blessed Isaac. It only appeared that Ishmael was blessed. And the seed of Ishmael today is still cursed with fighting, with war, with hatred, with division, with strife. I'm simply saying to you, rest in the Lord. Trust him. He has the power to keep his promise and what he has said he will do. But he wants you to demonstrate faith by coming to him in prayer, by entreating him for what he has told you he will do. Isaac doesn't just sit back and rest in that. He entreats the Lord, and the Lord then is entreated of him and answers his prayer. Are you contented? Are you submissive? Are you prayerful? That's what God wants in the Christian life. Stop trying to produce it. Just love the Lord. Live for the Lord. Serve the Lord. And let him do in his time, in your life, and in your family, and in your home, what pleases him to do. He will not fail one word of what he has promised you. It may look like it for a while, but he won't fail you. He's a faithful God. Rest in him. Trust him. Believe. My Uncle Terry was at my mother's funeral. I love seeing him again. He's just a great, great guy. He loves the Lord with all of his heart. And I think I might have mentioned this to you last week. It's on my mind. I want to say it to you again if I didn't. He said, I wrote somewhere at some time in the margin of my Bible, and he showed it to me. He said, it's not God's will for my life, but my life for God's will. And that's what Abraham did. And that's what Isaac did. They just gave their lives in faith to God. Said, you direct me, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll let you do what you want me to do. Was Abraham perfect? No. Was Sarah perfect? By the way, did Sarah deserve that? If I read the account correctly and try to be fair, I would say that Hagar is more deserving than Sarah. She was more fair. She just did what she was told. She did her responsibility and she suffered for it. But it's not about whether or not you're worthy. It's not about being deserving. It's about God choosing to save you and God choosing to bless you in his time through his son, Jesus Christ. Rest in that. Don't quit trying to earn your salvation. Lay it down. You can't keep the law. It was meant to bring you to Christ. The law is just a handmaiden to Christ who is to be your spouse. He's to be the one that you're joined to. That the law just ministers to you, but it's not your salvation. Rest in Christ. And Christian, believe God. Believe Him. Wait patiently upon Him. 20 years he waited for his wife to give him a son. But God had promised, and God kept His word. I don't know why God took that long. I don't know why God takes so long in your life and mine. But I know He's wiser than I am. I suspect He's wiser than you as well. Let's rest patiently in Him and wait on Him. Trust Him with all of our heart. Father in heaven, bless these words. Bless this story. You gave us the story of these men, and we didn't have time to read all the ways in which they are mentioned and contrasted in Scripture. We referred to a few of them, but Lord, you certainly have made it a big issue in the pages of Scripture. I pray you've helped and would help us today. And Lord, those that are continuing to try to produce righteousness by obedience to the law, that keep stumbling over their imperfection and are despairing of ever being accepted and received by you because they're looking at their record, help them, God. Deliver them. Help them to see it has nothing to do with their record. It has to do all with the righteous record of the Son of God, who lived the perfect life on their behalf and paid their sin debt. Help them to rest in the child of promise, the Lord Jesus. And God, teach us to be people who believe, who don't quit, who don't waver, who trust, who continue to pray, to intercede for your will to be accomplished, knowing that it surely will in your time. I pray that you'll work in every heart in this room, young and old alike, your will, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please.